It's our privilege today to have Brother Ron Ribeiro with us. He's always a blessing every time he comes, and we're looking forward to what the Lord has laid on your heart today. So, Brother, would you come share with us God's Word today? Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Pastor. How many of you are glad to be here this morning? Again, happy July 4th. Thank you so much for this country. Thank you so much for missions. People ask me sometimes back in Brazil, what's the reason that God blesses America in such a special way? I like to give them some reasons. I might not be right about all the reasons, but I am sure I am right about two of them at least. I tell people one of the reasons God blesses the USA so much is because of its beginning. Like it or not, this country was established on the principles of the Word of God.
Amen.
No wonder some people nowadays are trying to erase history, because history always takes us back to the Word of God in this country. Second reason, I think it's because of all the Bible-believing churches in this country. And I mean it when I say Bible-believing churches. Not only churches, but churches that are centered in the Word of God. A third reason, I believe it's the relationship that this country has with Israel. And the way that this country has treated the chosen people of God. And now my last and favorite reason is because this country is still, in spite of all the shortcomings, but this country is still the most missionary country in the world. Most of the Bible-believing missionaries are from this country, going to other countries and spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So because of these four, and there are many more reasons, God is blessing this country in a very special way. And I am the result of missions, so I am very grateful, because everything I am and everything I have, I owe to this country. And sometimes I think I love this country more than a lot of Americans do. Sometimes I have the impression I appreciate this country more than a lot of Americans do. And when I hear Americans complaining about this country, if I have a chance, I tell them, you should go abroad and you come back more grateful. Let's open the Word of God to the book of Mark, chapter 14. We are going to read only one verse. Please, if you have a chance, grab one of these brochures. Put it in your Bible, and this brochure will help you to remember to pray for us. Mark 14, verse 3 says, "And being Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meal, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head, on Jesus' head." This morning, what can I do for Jesus? What a question. What can we do for the Lord Jesus Christ? Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning, gathered together in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we ask you to speak to us through the Word, through the message. Help us to leave this place better Christians than when we first came in this morning. Use me to be a blessing. Help me to share the Word of God with your children. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Most people complain about what they cannot do for Jesus. And there are many things that you and I cannot do for Jesus. We could not accomplish for Jesus because we are very limited human beings. But there are many things you and I can do for Jesus. When Jesus was going through one of the most difficult moments of his life on this earth, a woman demonstrated that he was very important to her. She poured a box of very expensive oil over his head. The lesson here is that each one of us can do something for Jesus, and we must do it before it is too late. God never requires the impossible from us, but only what we can offer for him. Jesus was so grateful that he promised that her worship was going to be remembered forever. Likewise, you and I need to start accomplishing works for Jesus that will remain for all eternity. Your job as a medical doctor, as a dentist, as a lawyer, as a teacher, as a business person, must be done for his honor and for his glory. What are the lessons we learn through the actions of this humble woman? First of all, we need to do what we can with what we have. There came a woman having what? An alabaster box of ointment of spikenard. Very precious. It means very extremely expensive. Someone told me that nowadays that box of oil would have cost $54,000. That's half of what we need, Pastor, of what we need to build the Sunday school classrooms for our church in Brazil. And the Bible says she poured all of it on the head of Jesus. Perhaps this was her entire savings. Nobody asked her for that sacrifice. She did it out of her own free will. There were two types of people inside that house, and Jesus noticed them very well. First of all, people who used what they had for Jesus. The woman had an expensive vessel of ointment, which would have been very easy, would have been sold very easily to somebody. She could have negotiated that oil very easily, but she preferred to use it on Jesus' head without looking at the cost. This is the secret. Without looking at the cost. She broke it. It means that she poured it all. She poured it all on his head. Some of us, I believe, would have just sprinkled a few drops on Jesus' head. But that lady, she poured it all. Ananias and Sapphira were the first couple to die during the church age. They lied to God, they lied to the church by saying that they had given all the money of the property that they had sold, when in reality, they gave only half of the money. Nobody asked her or asked them to sell their property and give the money to the church. That was not the case. The problem is that they lied. They were giving all the money when they were not. So God took their lives to set an example that we should never sprinkle when we can pour all the oil. And we should never pour all the oil if we don't do it from the bottom of our hearts. The woman did not have to break the box. She did not have to anoint Jesus' head. But she wanted to do it. It was from her heart. And that's the reason Jesus defended her in front of her enemies. Now, what do you have that you can use for Jesus today? You have your life. How many more years do you have ahead of you? How do you intend to live these years? We just heard about Aunt Carolyn. She's about to go to heaven, but she's using her last days in this world to pray for people like us. So what do you have that you can use for Jesus? Brazilian, Rock of Ages missionary, Aguinaldo Araújo, decided to move to another city to help a local church. He rented an apartment and began his move, but he never made it to the new city. Why? He died because of this pandemic. He was only 48 years old. He left a great family, hundreds of spiritual children who got saved under his ministry. You know what happened to him? What can happen to each one of us? 1 Peter 4:2 says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Inside that house, Jesus noticed a lady who was using what she had for his glory. But he also noticed people who did not want to use what they had for Jesus. Verse 4 says, "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made?'" So the woman, she looked at the usefulness of the ointment. But the religious leaders looked at the cost of the ointment. And this morning, if you and I are looking at the cost of serving Jesus, if we are looking at the price of being Christians, yes, we are going to find out it is difficult even to come to church in our days. It is difficult to get involved in the ministry of the church in our days. And this is what happened in the house of Simon the leper. While the woman did what she could for Jesus, others criticize her. So we need to do what we can with what we have. This is the lesson we learn from this text. But the second lesson is that we need to do what we can while there is time. Jesus says in verse 8, "She hath done what she could." What she could. "She's come aforehand to anoint my body for the burying. Before my mother died, I told one of my sisters, 'When she dies, we will want to buy the best coffin, the best clothes, and the best flowers, but none of these actions will matter. So we need to do our best for our mother now, while she's alive.'" What did I mean by that? Say good words to people while they can still hear them. Send flowers to people while they can still smell them. Do good things now, because tomorrow might be too late. Jesus defended that woman and said to her critics, "Leave her alone." And I believe that if you and I are doing what we can for Jesus this morning, and if we are doing it because we know it's urgent, Jesus is also telling the devil, "Leave them alone, because what they are doing is important." She knew she needed to act now. She did not wait for him to die before anointing his head. What a privilege it was to do this for Jesus right before his crucifixion. A young lady, she told her Sunday school teacher, "I'm not going to serve God right now because I'm still very young. I want to enjoy life I want to take advantage of my youth. And those words hurt the heart of that Sunday school teacher. She cried for her student. She went to a flower store and she bought beautiful red roses for her student. She put those roses inside a beautiful box. She wrapped the box in a very beautiful way. She wrote a very nice card, but she did not send the box immediately. She waited 7 days, a week, before sending the box to her student. When the box arrived at that student's house, she was excited to see the package, to read the card. But when she opened the box, she found dead, wilted flowers. She was disappointed, but finally she understood the message. She understood the lesson through those flowers. She was doing the same thing towards God. She was going to waste her youth, her life, her energy, her health, her beauty, her strength on this world. And then, if she survived, she would give to God the very last moments of her life. What have we learned over this last year? That time does not belong to us. We have learned that time does not belong to us. This is the reason the Great Commission of Jesus is so important. This is the reason that spreading the gospel is so important. The Bible says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. How many of you have noticed that these days and time are evil? Evil. Yes, they are evil, and that's the reason we need to act now. Jesus told the religious crowd to leave that woman alone because her job was urgent and because her critics thought they could wait. They said in verse 5, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." Be careful with people who are using the poor against the church. Be careful with those people that are using the poor against the Great Commission of Jesus. Because Jesus is more important than the poor, and because Jesus is the only solution to the poor. We are establishing a church right now in one of the poorest areas of town called Jardim Cerrado. Besides poverty, our church is surrounded by violence, drugs, and thievery. What do people there need the most? Money to buy shoes or a Bible-believing church to preach the gospel and change their lives? They need a Bible-believing church for sure. I was very poor when I got saved. Today, everything I am and everything I have, I owe to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But please, note the real reason behind the political socialism in John 12, verse 6. This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was therein. God, our God, loves the poor, and he does not take advantage of the poor. Like this woman, we need to act now. Waiting is just showing our lack of urgency and commitment to the Lord Jesus. So we need to do what we can, and we need to do it now. These are the first two lessons. And the third and last lesson, we need to do our part in spite of difficulties. Nobody told us it was going to be easy to be a Christian and to represent God in this world. Verse 4 says, "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made?'" People criticize us for one of two reasons: either because we are wrong or because we are right. Either way, we need to learn how to survive all the opposition in the work of God, or we are going to quit too soon. My pastor, Brother Jimmy Rose, he used to say that 80% of all the ministry, 80% of all the ministry is dealing with people, counseling, helping people to solve their problems. Only 20% is preaching and teaching. So most of the ministry, we are dealing with people, helping people, trying to be a blessing to people. The woman who anointed Jesus was criticized because of jealousy, not because she was wrong. But she refuted her enemies in these two ways. First, by believing Jesus' words, and Jesus defended her ministry, and then by continuing to do what she was doing. What God had to say about what we are doing is more important than what others are saying. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." So when criticized, we should immediately ask the Lord Jesus, "Lord, where am I wrong?" And most of the time, He'll show areas that we need to improve. Though this woman was totally right in her motives, in her methods, I believe she would have stopped what she was doing if Jesus had told her to stop. So what God has to say is more important than what people have to say. When we started our first church in that precarious shed, I told you in the morning, some pastors criticized me for teaching about missions to a newborn church. In their opinion, I should build a building first, have a property first, and then teach them about missions. I respected them, but I disagreed by saying that, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then the other things shall be added unto you." So rather than listening to them, I had to listen to the Word of God. And we had to put God first and our needs second, because God has promised to provide for our needs, especially when we are seeking first His kingdom in our lives. What God had to say about the matter and what we should do about this matter. Verse 9, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached," and this morning we are at Grace Bible Church, "throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." We don't know her name, but we know that she pleased God. And you know, there's nothing more important in this life of mine and of yours than to please God. You and I were born to please God. And what a privilege it is for us sometimes to make God smile at us, to make God happy at us. And she pleased the Lord Jesus on that day. She was criticized by powerful people, but we still remember her today, 2,000 years later, because she did not stop what she was doing for Jesus. And how do we know that she was right? Her motives were correct: to glorify God, not herself. Her attitude was correct. She was not selfish, but she donated her material possessions. Her feelings were right. What she did was done out of love, and her theology was right. She knew that Jesus' mission was to die for our sins. Concluding, are you being criticized today? Back in Brazil, it's been so difficult, because if we decide to open the church, half of the church will be against us. But if we decide to close the church, the other half will be also against us. So we cannot look at this half or to that half. We have to look above and decide to do God's will. Are you being criticized today? Check your motives, your attitude, check your feelings, check your theology. If they are all biblical, then don't stop. Keep on keeping on, because God will bless you. Now, why did Jesus make a point of recording what this woman did for him? There's just one reason: to set an example for all of us. What are we going to do with what we have for Jesus this morning? Now, during this pandemic, you know that the pandemic in Brazil is much, much worse than it is here in the States. Only now, our country has been able to vaccinate our people. And we don't have a good hospital system. I was told that out of 10 people that are intubated in Brazil, 8 will die for sure. We have now more than 550,000 deaths that were attributed to COVID. So the situation there is not good at all. And then people ask me what I have learned during this pandemic. And God has impressed Ephesians 5:16 upon my heart: redeeming the time, because the days are evil. As soon as we entered this pandemic, our churches, our 6 churches, were closed. And we were closed for close to 6 months. And even after that, we were allowed back only 25% of the size of the buildings. To this day, it's only 25% of the size of the buildings. All of a sudden, I had to do the services online, and all the churches were participating in the online services. So in this way, it was a good thing. We had all the churches together. And our first prayer is that God would keep the ones He had given us, that He would keep us alive. I know it is too early to say that, because COVID is still very rampant in Brazil. But since the pandemic started until this moment, we have not lost one single person from the 6 churches we have established. And I say this is only by the grace of God. And among all the spiritual gifts, the one that God has increased the most in my own life is the gift of faith. is the fruit, spiritual fruit of faith. I needed a lot of faith to face this last 15 months because I had to expose myself most of the time. I had to take people to the hospital. I had to make visits. I just could not stay home. In spite of that, none of us in my family was contaminated. And I say, this is only by the grace of God. So if I learned the lesson, and I want to practice, this is the lesson. Redeeming the time. I want to do more for God than ever, because I know our time is very short. Let's do it. We still have some time.